Hi, this is part five of a series of podcasts entitled Anti-Racist Pedagogies. My name is Hattie Campbell, Senior Lecturer and Co-Programme Lead on the Early Childhood Studies Programme. I'm also a member of the newly formed Equity Collective, a movement within my institution to develop anti-racist teaching and learning, to interrogate pedagogies of practice and decolonise the curriculum. Today I'm going to talk about enculturation and the many facets in which this can be embodied. Kano and others define enculturation as a process of socialisation into the dominant culture. And anti-racist pedagogy is a commitment to the decolonising the curriculum, which is to displace whiteness from its universal stance. Nakayemi and Martin point out that it's important to understand the diverse ways in which whiteness operates as a system of domination. An example of how we might look at this is by investigating the knowledge that is reproduced in higher education. For instance, why might we introduce Jean Piaget, or we might introduce Jean Piaget, a white middle-class theorist whose philosophy explores how children cognitively construct their understanding of the world around them as independent learners, or Lev Vygotsky, who tells us that children construct their meaning through social interaction and socialization, known as social construction. Decolonizing the curriculum would take on an Afrocentric position, which academically challenges Eurocentric knowledge that occupies a privileged position in higher education. So it's not about stripping away the knowledge that exists, it's about adding non-Eurocentric knowledge to the discourse. For example, we have two white middle-class men, Piaget and Vygotsky, I mentioned earlier, and we can add to this discourse a mainly forgotten African philosopher, the first known to have attended a university in Europe, was an academic, became a professor who, like Piaget, was interested in cognitive development, but from the perspective of spiritual construction. He proposed that the spirit was full of imagination and meaning and was always active. His name was Professor Anton Wilhelm Amo, 1703 to 1759. Amo's philosophy stays close, but not entirely, with that of René Descartes, another white male middle-class philosopher, important in education and educational thinking in higher education. So we can make connections between enculturation and decolonizing the curriculum by examining the relationship between enculturation and ethnic identity. Ethnic identity is a process in which we come to ourselves and are influenced through gaining knowledge and learning about the history, practices, and beliefs of one's ethnic group. So if we introduce white middle-class producers of knowledge as central to our understanding of the world, we as educators become part of the enculturation that continues to reproduce and perpetuate the ideas and ideology of whiteness, or white enculturation, which works as a system of domination, which Nakayama and Martin persists, where we are constantly reproducing materially. So if we don't challenge these concepts by decolonizing the curriculum through anti-racist pedagogies, this becomes problematic. We can also look at this through the eyes of Pierre Bourdieu, and to unwrap this system of enculturation through Bourdieu's concept of habitus, which is my simplified, not very well explained version of it. Bourdieu argues that it's a set of dispositions, habitus is a set of dispositions which incline us to act and react in certain ways. And these dispositions generate practices, perceptions and attitudes which are regular without being consciously coordinated or governed by any rule. As educators, we perpetuate this by not challenging the status quo, by not decolonising the curriculum, and not challenging our own pedagogies through this anti-racist lens. Enculturation, or the embodiment of the invisible yet visible whiteness of this dominant culture, can be challenged through anti-racist pedagogies. As change agents, because this is what we are, there is motivation for reclaiming forms of knowledge, like, for instance, Professor Anton Wilhelm Ammo. And what Colin says to be important is for this information to be transferred from person to person, for people to become competent. And one of the ways in which we can do this and make this happen is through mentoring others, helping our colleagues to realise this potential within themselves to develop further and evolve emerging an anti-racist pedagogy. We need to understand, though, that these changes in us are highly nuanced, to the extent that the impact of these cannot always be perceived, though they can in time turn out to be revolutionary. I'd like to say thank you for listening to my podcast. My name is Hattie Campbell, and you've been listening to part 5 of Anti-Racist Pedagogies.